Sports Hub headlines.
The Bruins have made a trade. The Bees have agreed to send defenseman Rob O'Gara in a 2018 third-round draft pick to the Rangers for defenseman Nick Holden. Holden has played in 55 games for New York. He has 3 goals with 9 assists. He's averaging 19 minutes of ice time a night. Meanwhile, on the ice last night, the Bees beat the Flames 2-1 in OT. Brad Marchand with the game winner. Tuukka Rask, 28 saves. Here's Bruce Cassidy on his team's offense.
I was pleased in Vancouver offensively. I mean, we generated, I think we had it at about 27 plus about 8 or 9 off nets, so it was probably a season high for us. We just didn't finish that well, and then tonight we didn't have that many, but we certainly, like you said, generated some breakaways, or we made good plays. Spoons was a good shot. Pasta made a good move. The kid was up to it.
Bruins and Edmonton tonight, the pregame, Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 8:30 for you right here on the New England Honda Dealers 98.5, the Sports Bruins Radio Network. It's a pregame. J.D. Martinez is a Red Sox. Deals for 5 years worth a total of $110 million. He will make $50 million in the first 2 years, $72 million through the first three. He has 2 opt-out clauses in this contract, 1 after year 2, 1 after year 3. Meanwhile, in a connected story, manager Alex Cora told the media today that Hanley Ramirez will be the club's number 3 hitter this season. NFL teams have started to dump salary. The Buccaneers have released Doug Martin. The Texans have released linebacker Brian Cushing. And the Bears have decided to cut linebacker Jarrell Freeman. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter reporting that Adam Vinatieri wants to return for his 23rd NFL season. Finally, NCAA's Infractions Appeals Committee has upheld the Committee on Infractions ruling that Louisville must vacate its 2013 National Championship for men's basketball. Headlines brought to you by Live Nation. Jason Aldean, Saturday, May 26th at Xfinity Center. Presale for city members through Thursday at 10 p.m. at LiveNation.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Headlines coming up about 30 minutes.
Stay connected to Boston sports.
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 985thesportshub.com. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't tell me he knew all along. And maybe McCourty is right about this. Maybe they knew he wasn't going to start. But no one knew that he would not play one single defensive snap in the entire Super Bowl. That was an exercise in cruelty on the part of Bill Belichick, the likes I have not seen. And as far as I'm concerned, any player should think twice about going to play for this man after a move like that. Because if I could bust my tail and put my health on the line all year long, and then we get to the biggest moment that's possibly imaginable, and you could sit up there and get rid of me at that particular moment in time, what incentive do I have to want to play for you? McCourty can say what he wants. I don't believe him. I don't believe anybody who tells me Malcolm Butler knew that he was not going to be playing in the Super Bowl. I don't believe that for 1 second.
Stephen A. Smith yesterday on ESPN saying that free agents should think twice about coming to the Patriots given the benching of Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. He's also responding to some quotes from Devin McCourty.
I'm sure Gilmore really regrets coming here.
On NJ.com. And those quotes from Devin McCourty were this: as far as I know, all of that is the furthest thing from the truth when asked about the incident or lack thereof related to Malcolm Butler. We knew he wasn't starting all week. That wasn't a secret to the guys on the team. I get why people are fishing. The guy played 98% of the plays. I just hate that for him, character-wise, going into free agency.
Yeah.
It's just not true. As far as I know, and I was there all week, not one time did anything come up with him. He said it sucked for him. He put in a lot of time and effort. However it falls, the last thing you want to do is not play a snap. To me, the worst part was to see all the anonymous stuff come out after. Speaking about Butler, McCourty said he's a great teammate. It's cool for me to see. He came in as an undrafted rookie in 2014. He didn't know a thing about playing in the NFL or life as an NFL player. He's grown so much. Those were some of his comments about the development and the quality of teammate that Malcolm Butler was and said that all these rumors and the anonymous reports after the fact, in Devin McCourty's mind,
it's people don't
furthest
understand
thing from the truth. Yep.
And I think the players are confused, too, because that's what McCourty's talking about. I mean, that's he even threw the percentage in there. That's coming out of his mouth. That's not written. That's coming out of Devin's mouth. He played 98% of our snaps. To not play a single snap. And I think that's what Malcolm was crying about.
Is there anybody who has spoken publicly about this that has more credibility related to the situation than Devin McCourty? Bill Belichick is one of the guys involved as a decision maker.
Right.
Malcolm Butler is the guy on the receiving end of the decision. Both of those guys would have motivation to give you part of the story or not the whole story. Does Devin McCourty have any bias in this? He's probably not going to be Malcolm Butler's teammate going forward.
But he's also
still going to be a player playing under head coach Bill Belichick. And oh, by the way, he's a defensive captain and a guy who's obviously earned the respect that he has.
It's the first guy
I would
talks.
Say this is the best and most reliable quote we've gotten from anybody about this situation. I will take the word of Devin McCourty in this over everybody else. He's telling us nothing happened.
Bill Belichick said
I'll take his word
for it. But Bill Belichick
gladly.
Said it was not a discipline thing. Right? So there's the double down.
Right, but he's never answered for why he didn't play a single snap
right.
in the game.
See, I think that's what was told to him prior to the game is you're not in any package. Defensive package. Just be ready on all special teams. I think if that's the truth, and if to what Devin's saying is true, that we all knew he's not starting. I don't think there's one person on that team that thought, a guy that just 2 weeks ago in an AFC Championship big game, AFC Championship game, at home, played an entire game, all of a sudden is not going to play a single snap because, again, here we go. Ready? Jordan Richards and Jonathan Mad-Batamosi are considered better options. Jordan Richards was so bad.
He sucks.
To the one where I thought the game was lost on the third and three, the 50-yarder to Clement down the sideline. I'm telling you, that's the one that lost the game to me. Because it was a 15-12 game, momentum swung. Next thing you know, it's 22-12 at the half because he gives up a 54-yarder down the right because he can't do a combo rub route.
He's never been good. I don't
to
get
say
it.
It's a Super Bowl. Now we want him down in the box. Not only was he down in the box, they deemed he was better to be on the field because it took Patrick Chung out of his position of star.
Yep. Instead of having...
they did to adjust to it? They benched him in the second half and brought Batamosi in.
Yep. Well, that's like the biggest problem to me. Okay, you don't start Butler. You make the decision during the week that he is not mentally ready, physically ready, whatever the hell it is. You decide if you're Belichick, I am not starting that guy. The bigger mistake was not putting him out there. When he saw his defense getting torched, when he saw Richards blow assignments, when he saw Batamosi miss a tackle.
You guys read Mike Reese since the Super Bowl? He's still digging. That guy's still digging because he's not accepting breaking it down. He wrote a hell of a breakdown in some of the notes stuff. I think it was 2 days ago.
His snap count. Yeah,
his snap count column. And tracked it. Mike's like, it is a head scratcher, and he is going to continue from a journalistic standpoint to continue to try to dig to find some more stuff here because I'm with him. It doesn't add up.
No. I mean, if you
McCourty towed it perfectly, I think, because he's answering a question that was posed to him.
Right.
At a seminar in Rutgers for sickle cell. So the question was asked to him. At least he addressed it publicly.
If you decide not to start
at least he addressed it. I mean, he went into it. He told you nothing went on.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
It's because nobody else is talking about it.
Well, let me ask you this.
We're thinking some big event happened on Sunday that forced this guy into this decision.
Now, Matt Chatham.
So instead of taking the word of Devin McCourty, who we would have no reason to not believe, I mean, talk about a respected player.
Yeah.
Devin McCourty is top of the list in that department. We're going to sit there and what? Say Mike Reese is still digging? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
There's a 42 that got hung on that board. A 42 by a backup quarterback.
Well, here's...
Why? Because people can't accept that the coach made a bad decision? Like, we can't accept that?
We can't play a single snap.
We can't chalk that up as that was a bad call and one that hurt the team.
What we can't overlook is the fact that Butler's going to be a free agent, too. So let's not forget that. I'm not so sure.
Well, they want to sign him back on the cheap?
No. If you're a teammate of Butler, if you're Devin McCourty and you're asked whether or not this guy was screwing around Super Bowl week, is McCourty going to actually be honest? Now, he might be telling us the absolute truth. However, if McCourty caught wind of something happening, would he stand up and say that? He's thinking, wait, my friend is walking into free agency.
He may not know.
If
stuff could happen after hours that you don't know and the team doesn't know.
That's perfectly, the coach doesn't
like telling the team.
That's true as well. But what I'm saying is just because people are saying out there, teammates, that he didn't do anything doesn't necessarily mean that he didn't do anything. It could be that they don't know or it could be that they understand this guy is walking into free agency.
The things that have been put out there, though, the fact that he got into a fight with a coach, you think Devin McCourty would have been aware of that?
Yes.
If he okay,
he would see it.
Thank you.
Yes.
That he had been in a fight with the coach the day of the game.
See it.
Yeah, he would have known. Devin McCourty would be in the
middle. He would probably be in the
that.
Middle breaking that fight up.
The curfew thing, the other stuff that was totally unfounded by really anyone. The only thing that's come out from a credible reporter is that he had a minor infraction that week. That's Ian Rappaport said that. Giardi said there was something minor as well. Nothing other than that.
Was he sick or not sick? I mean, that could also be another thing playing into this, the beginning of the week.
Here's another thing that
him
people
coming
forget.
Down late.
Here's another thing that people forget. You know, they're looking at this as isolated. We've had plenty of people, like Giardi, say, Malcolm Butler, and this is not throwing, you know, dog crap on the guy as he's walking out. This was being said over the last year and a half or two. He's not always the easiest guy to deal with. And he had shown up late in the past for certain things. The coaching staff at times felt
year.
Like, yeah, yeah. The coaching staff.
2015. For two weeks during
2015, he showed
during
up
May
late.
And June.
Yeah. And the coaching staff, according to guys, you know, like Giardi and even Bedard, the coaching staff didn't always feel like they were getting completely through to him.
Then why are you playing 98% of snaps in the regular season and through the playoffs?
I'm not. Yeah. What I'm saying is, right. I'm not saying that you pull him for.
No, I understand.
Listen, I think all of us are on the same page that he should have played on the Super Bowl. I think we all agree with that.
I like a series.
But what I'm saying is people are looking at this as if, oh, he might have done one thing that week. That one thing might have been the straw that broke the camel's back to Belichick.
I didn't realize you were playing Rams of 2000.
Yeah, but to go from turf. From 98% to zero.
No, I agree.
I mean, wow, that must have been one hell of a big straw.
I agree. Again, so here's the thing, okay? I'm not saying that that's what happened. What I'm saying is for people that are treating it as if it might have been one thing, it might have not been one thing.
He's trying to just break the camel's back and crush it.
It might have been.
I was here watching that 8-minute drive at the end of the game, and you just can't get off the freaking field. Yeah, you can't even tackle.
I think he missed like three snaps in the final 10 games that they played.
Remember that Pittsburgh game at the end?
Before the Super Bowl.
Remember that Pittsburgh game at the end? A guy tackled that guy before he got out of bounds on the fourth, forced him to burn the timeout.
I'm not trying to justify anything. I'm just simply saying for people that are looking for one big event, it might have not been one big event Super Bowl week.
Bill said there's not enough time to get in that it is it's a lot in the discussion to get to. That was on the conference call the next day.
Right. If you ask me, I think it was a football decision.
Nobody ever coach can tell you that it was not a disciplinary matter. The defensive captain and a guy who's very well respected could tell you that it wasn't disciplinary and nothing had happened. And yet people will still sit here and try and figure out what the incident was. No. I just think you're chasing something that isn't there.
I think it's getting old. I think it was a football decision. I think it was a terrible football decision that we all need to live with.
Right. Bingo. That's what it boils
down to.
And you know what? There's just too many people that can't accept it and can't live with it.
Right. The greatest...
They can't live with a bad football decision by Bill Belichick. So they just lose their minds chasing something that isn't there.
Right. The people can't accept that the greatest coach of all time could screw up like that. And it is possible. He's not flawless. He's not immaculate. He's a great coach, but he's not perfect. And that decision was
But he's great.
We're willing to call the head coach a liar to defend the head coach. Oh, no, he's lying to us. He's not just lying to us, but he's lying to us because he's a good guy and wants to protect the player. He doesn't want to, you know, really tear the player apart publicly. So he's lying to us. Devin McCourty is lying to us. Malcolm Butler is lying. They're all just lying. Everyone's a liar, apparently. Nobody is telling the truth. They're all liars, according to many. I just think at some point you've got to start believing these guys, that it was a football-related decision and one that very few of us like or agree with. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls on everything from the day. We're mixing it all together. Some leftover Red Sox items. We've got Patriots items out there as well. Maybe some interest in one guy who might get traded, one guy who's a free agent, yay or nay. We'll get to that coming up next.
Solak. A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Solak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand on this Tuesday. 617-779-0985. Couple of developments today in the NFL. First one being reports that Marcus Peters on the block. He is on the block in Kansas City. may not be long before they pull the trigger on a deal and trade a young all-pro cornerback.
He's good.
And Marcus Peters.
He and Eric Berry, two good guys.
So they're considering this because he's been undisciplined. They're worried about his dedication.
He said issues with fans. He was one of the guys kneeling or not kneeling, whatever side you stand on for the national. But he was very outspoken. He's had some issues. He has, but he's a damn. We're talking about a football cover guy.
Remember a game against the Jets when he picked up the penalty
just
flag?
Walked off the field.
He threw it into the stands?
Yeah, he's a bit of a hothead.
And what a Aqib Talib isn't, but he worked here. You know what I mean? So don't think that you can't come in and these guys can't really adapt to the type of environment you set with your captains, with the way you run your team.
I mean, going back to college, he was dismissed from Washington. He was dismissed from his college. The guy's got issues, okay? He's a troubled player.
The guy can play.
He's a guy who's got some issues, dealing with coaching and, dealing with staying disciplined and within the rules and all that stuff.
Does that mean the value is down? Maybe you can get him for a little bit cheaper?
Well, I think that's why he's being traded.
Right.
I mean, that's why he's even available, because if he didn't have those issues, there's no way in hell the Kansas City Chiefs are taking calls on this guy.
Yeah, be like a sanity checker for him.
Who's got, 1 year left on his rookie deal, plus he's got a fifth-year option in 2019. And so you've got to pull the trigger on the option by May 3rd. That has to be figured out by May 3rd of this year. That's how it's written. So he would
That's interesting to me.
So here would be the cost. 2 years and a little over $11 million.
See, because the Gronkowski-Brady window, Belichick, whatever, Josh McDaniels window, I think is 2 to 3.
Yep.
And
that's just falls right in there for you.
Yep. The $9.5 million in the fifth year is only guaranteed for injury. So throw that in there as well. It's not guaranteed money.
It's essentially the same as the Brandon Cooks trade last year.
Sure.
You had the trade for him. He had 1 year left plus that option.
Gee, which player would you rather have?
You give up the Garoppolo pick for him?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yes.
A two?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
See ya.
And so, listen, he's got the issues, right?
Right.
I mean, but the Patriots were once upon a time known as the team that could fix those issues. I don't know if they still are. I know they've obviously had some coaching changes here that involve Matt Patricia no longer being here. I think he's the perfect type of guy to kind of get someone in line. But if you're the team that can acquire the issues, and I think it's different with young players. Young players can change. He's 25 years old.
Boy,
he's not 32. He's not some veteran who's been around the block and has done something and can come in and be Albert Hainsworth, to speak.
Matt seems to be more of a quiet behind the scenes guy to keep things internalized, take the commands of the head coach, where a guy like Brian Flores, who's staying now, who could be elevated to the next defensive coordinator, could be a little more rigid in dealing with players and have a little more better skills as far as reacting to them and communicating with them. This could be a good thing.
How was Aqib Talib when he came here?
Troubled.
No, but how was he when he was here?
Oh, he's phenomenal here. That was
totally
fine.
Then he left and shot himself in the leg.
But it wasn't when he was here.
I know.
He didn't do that here.
Exactly. Again, his window in New England, he was well-behaved from what we know.
I mean, how was Corey Dillon when Corey Dillon came here?
Yeah. I mean,
he was fine when he was here.
Randy Moss. Keep going.
For the most part. Well, see, Moss, you ran into trouble after
three or four years into it.
Right.
Does the Malcolm Butler situation affect Belichick's decision-making about a guy like Peters? Because you're just getting rid of somebody who is seen as over-emotional at that position. Do you want to bring in somebody who is, over-emotional?
I think there's a longer list with Malcolm. If they could sit there and they could say, hey, we got all these negatives regarding... Like, Malcolm could not play against the taller receivers. He had issues with timing and jumping, and it was frustrating because he would be there in coverage. But he couldn't make the play because of the size would limit him.
Right.
And I think that struggled with some package sets that they wanted to run. It's why they went out and got Gilmore. It's why they love Talib. I told you we were out there in Denver, and I've never seen Bill go out of his way when they're leaving the field to go to another team. He doesn't even converse with the other team prior to the start of a game. Out of his way to embrace and talk to Aqib Talib for a good minute while his team's warming up. Like, that's what he thinks of that player.
Would you be willing? Here, when you look at Jim asked the question about the Garoppolo pick, my question is, are the Patriots looking to draft a quarterback in this draft? If so,
sure.
Is that the pick that they're going to use? Would you rather trade that pick for Peters, or would you rather keep it and maybe get a shot at the quarterback of the future?
Peters.
Can't tell you right now because, who's going to be available at that time? There could be a run on guys. They could say six guys could go in this first round this year, which is crazy.
But you have to decide right now if you want to trade for him.
Right.
Yeah. If you're going to make
Peters.
The deal, you're going to sit there.
I'll take Peters.
You take Peters?
Peter.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I'd rather have that.
Yeah, you got Bademosi. Bademosi and I like 37. Jordan Richards down at Star Set when they go big nickel. That's fun to watch.
Well,
I had a good time.
I thought the Super Bowl was a good time. I don't think they need any help.
I don't think they need any more help.
Go watch 37 on special teams, let alone defensive sets.
Did I say they shouldn't make any moves? I said I wouldn't make the move for Peters. Doesn't mean I wouldn't get a cornerback in the market. I'd go after Tlaib, and I'd draft a young cornerback to battle Cyrus Jones. And then you have Gilmore, Tlaib, Rowe as your third corner, and a battle between Jonathan
Peters,
Jones, Cyrus Jones, and the young
control.
Guy.
26-year-old Peters.
But if you could draft the next, if you felt confident.
And he has to be motivated.
You'd rather have a cornerback for 2 years than the
possible... I'd rather have Jordan Ramsey, but we're not going to pick a top 10.
Would you rather have Peters or possibly the next quarterback for the next 12 years of this organization? That's the question you're asking.
But it doesn't have to be with that pick.
No, it doesn't have to.
You have to get that quarterback with that pick.
They got Brady in the sixth round.
But it doesn't have to be Peters. You can get another cornerback.
Find the next Tom Brady in the fourth or fifth round.
Tlaib could get released.
Okay, but you're asking about willingness. My willingness on that is yes.
Why is it
going
to be a second rounder?
I think you pick the quarterback over the cornerback every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
As you've said, it doesn't have to be an either or.
Brady's going to be quarterback for 19 years. He was 199th pick. Yeah? You picked that guy late.
All right, that's one today. Marcus Peters is one name. Another one that's thrown out there.
That's a first sexy name we've got.
Let's talk about that. Ooh. Doug Martin. Has been released by the Tampa Bay Bucks. I have a hard pass on Doug Martin. No.
I never liked Doug Martin when he was there and in good health and good spirits and worked for them.
He's had
know.
Two seasons
never, I don't know. Never
of
liked
1,400 plus yards.
Yeah. His last 2 years.
He was due to make $7 million.
I'd rather go back to the Matt Forte discussion of 2 years ago. You know?
He's pretty much a pig the last couple of years, though, right?
He's been in the league 6 seasons now. He has played 2 complete seasons in those 6 of 16 games apiece.
Yeah, his rookie year
when he rushed for 1,454 yards, he had 11 touchdowns, and he's never matched that again.
In 2015, he had just over
1,400. He had 6 touchdowns that year. Along with 4 lost fumbles.
We always talk about this. Is this going to be the offseason that Belichick tries to target a legit running back? And I'm not saying you get to spend a first-round pick on a guy, but somebody that he identifies and says, instead of depth, because last year it was depth, we're going to put 4 guys out there with Gillislee and Burkhead and Lewis and White.
Yeah.
Are they going to look for somebody who can, hey, he's going to get us 20 carries a game, and we'll have White as the third down back, and we'll have some depth, but we'll have 2 main guys
this year. I think there is a sense of a reset at certain positions, too. You look at Ridley and Vereen when they kind of did that combo when they were coming out as rookies. You get to the point now where, James White basically is your only back right now because I think Gillislee and Burkhead, you move on from those guys. Tell Deion Lewis, go test the market and come back. They let Edelman test the market. Remember when Edelman thought he was going to leave and get paid and he was complaining about not getting the type of money?
Went to the deal there.
Same thing with Hightower. Let these guys, Hightower, they let him go test the market. And they came back, but you're not going to pay him.
Okay, 5 second answers on this. Brian Cushing also now officially cut. That report's been out there for a couple of days.
Any interest in Brian steroids? I mean, he's got that wacko in him. Yeah, I'd take him.
Only if he's roided up do I want him.
I want the juiced. I want juiced, ultra fuel. Yes.
Nice thick neck and shoulders.
Give me the Romanowski version of him.
The freak of Cushing.
Yep. Again,
give me the guy who's going to bite the heads off of squirrels and chickens and have the blood on his face.
Up Cushing and bring Harrison back and let him go at it.
Yes.
Have fun.
Let him eat weights.
PED suspension in 2010.
Bring out the greenies.
More in 2017. Again, if he's roided out of his mind,
absolutely.
I'd say take a look.
I just don't think he's the same player, though.
Shoot him up.
He's definitely not. Ronnie Harrison had a little rejuvenation at the end of his career. I'd call that clinic in New York.
Give him cell therapy.
And get Brian Cushing here on all that
stuff.
Call the
Mannings. Go back to Indy to that strip mall.
Here are the headlines with Nick Cattles.
Sports Hub headlines.
The Bruins have made a trade.
Anti-PED here.
Anti-PED. I got it. Bruins have made a trade. The Bees have agreed to send defenseman Rob O'Gara and a 2018 third-round pick. The Rangers for defenseman Nick Holden. Holden's played in 55 games for New York. 3 goals, 9 assists. Holden is averaging 19 minutes of ice time a night. Bruins travel to Edmonton to face the Oilers tonight. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame with Judd Sirott, Bob Beers at 8:30 right here on the New England Honda Dealers 98.5, the Sports Bruins Radio Network. J.D. Martinez is a Red Sox. 5-year deal, $110 million, $50 million the first 2 years, $72 million the first 3 years, 2 opt-outs. Martinez can opt out after year 2 or year 3. Meanwhile, Alex Cora told the media today that Hanley Ramirez will be the club's number 3 hitter this season. Fergie, she's apologized for her rendition of the national anthem at the NBA All-Star Game, saying that the rendition didn't strike the intended tone, but she does love the country, though. And finally, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have released running back Doug Martin. Headlines are brought to you by Cool Sculpting. Freeze away your fat for good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team today. Call 617-964-1440 or josepharussomd.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Headlines coming up, 2 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
In this discussion in the other room, Jim said, you ever hear of this group so-and-so?
What's the name of it again?
What's the name of the group?
Spencer Lee Band?
Spencer Lee Band. He goes, should we try something coming back? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, play it.
This guy has a little bit of a Aloe Black sound to him.
Another song. There's just two songs.
Right, doesn't he?
The other one I can't play on the air right now.
Good call.
Why can't you play the other one on the air?
He's not as good as Aloe Black, yet, but he sounds a little bit like him.
No, it swears, though.
Everybody's so sensitive. Swear. Like you never heard the word before. Jesus. Also, now all we can hear is technically on the radio. When the radio's on. Start swearing when I get home.
I thought you were about to play us like some top 40 hit. I wasn't
expecting terrible.
This.
No. Whoa. Hey, now.
Where'd that come from?
That just jumped in, didn't it?
Yeah, but it's like, again.
It's a little surprise there.
It's like Jungle Low and Uncle Diesel. It takes them 45 seconds to get going. It's almost like Sanford and Son intro.
I like
predict Beatles going to really like this.
I do. It took too long to get to this point, though.
I agree.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. No, I like that.
I'm in now.
Sanford and Son. Am I right?
No, this isn't bad. This isn't bad at all.
So Jim's going on vacation next week for a week.
You are, Jim?
All inclusive.
Oh, this is your birthday trip.
Yeah, no, Jim's friends.
Yeah, 40th birthday. Yeah,
birthday trip.
It's funny, Nick's not invited, huh?
No, I didn't get that call.
Interesting. So Jim has.
When do you turn 40, Nick?
You know, I only invited him to my wedding and everything. He was part of my wedding and all.
Classic.
You know, it's all right.
So
fine.
Jim, I think right now is going through a playlist and he's trying to get this. You know, that's what you're doing back there, right? You're putting together.
That was over the weekend. Yeah. And it's a little pool playlist.
I'd take it off.
Wait a minute. So you can't
take this off the list.
You can't go to an all-inclusive birthday party for the 40th birthday party of your friend if you're not 40.
Hell no. Why would you want little kids to
bring in a Bluetooth speaker?
No, he's saying me. He's saying me. He said when you're turning 40. So
you're too young.
Yeah,
I'm too young.
All of my friends that are turning 40 are going on a trip together.
This is 40.
It's a
instead of having a bunch of 40th birthday parties everywhere.
I want a bunch of Klingon friends.
I think it's a fabulous idea.
I'm going to my own all-inclusive in mid-March anyway. So take that, Jim. Take that, Louth. I'm going on my own trip.
It is a good idea.
What?
The 40th, when you and all your friends are in the year of turning 40, you do that instead of having a party. Instead of people throwing parties.
No, it is
nonstop.
A good idea.
It's a
great idea.
Some people live in different parts of the country, so everyone's just traveling to one spot.
That's neat. Did you hear mass in the background?
You don't do regular people things. That's the problem.
I don't have many regular
people. Zoe's never been a regular guy.
That's part of the problem. I've never tailgated.
You've never tailgated?
Never tailgated.
Never ridden on the Red Line
That's
or
a crime.
Any of the MBTA
never been
trains.
On a
That's a crime.
Never been on a subway train.
What?
No, I went on a train in Denver this year.
That's not even a subway. That was
amazing.
Like a trolley above ground.
It was awesome.
Have you ever taken a subway train underground?
Hell no.
Of course. Never done that.
I took the
I still can't get over the tailgating thing.
Does the Acela count?
You didn't tailgate when you were like in high school or
Why don't you tailgate in high school? I play.
That's a big
I'm
part
saying
of
for other like when you were
another guy like.
So when you're a high school
number
kid,
number two recruit in the state of Pennsylvania. What am I going to tell you?
I've known you for 14 years. I know your history, but you can.
I know your history. If you're a game and then go sober up and then go play.
I know you're kind of a big deal. If you're a high school kid though, you wouldn't go to a college game with your buddies and drink before the game and hang out. No,
no. Didn't have those kind of regular friends. Isolated. Keep me away from the bad kids.
Interesting.
Never went to a Steelers game when you were a kid?
Went to Steelers game with my dad.
Showed up and walked right in the stadium.
Showed up and walked right in. We'd buy an Italian sub sandwich.
A lot of H2O pregame.
And we would split the sandwich. They had the best Italian sub sandwiches, like the mini Jimmies. You know, they make them like that, and they cut them up, and we'd take them in. And my dad would buy me nachos, and we'd have binoculars, and we'd go to the game. And wave our terrible towels. I was too young to drink. You were different.
You drank before you were 21, dude.
No, my dad.
You never drank. You never had a beer with your dad before you were 21.
No, we don't do that.
Interesting. We don't do that. Bertrand, you drank before you were 21, right?
Kids, man. With a parent.
I don't believe I ever did it with a parent.
Right. No,
right?
No.
See, Jim's parents.
I guess that says a lot about
Jim's parent and uncle. It's different.
Maybe like around the age of 20.
Jim, you did right.
I would say close to the age of 21. Like I wouldn't have been like 17, 18. It would have been more like almost 21.
I started young.
Wow.
Yeah, no, there was drinking going on, just not with your parents.
Yeah, they wouldn't deal with that.
Well, it didn't have to be like with the parents, ever in the company. Like, you ever have buddies over, play, like, you know, hang out and drink a couple beers? You never had that?
No.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
You never had, like, the parent conversation
nope,
of, like...
I did not have that parent.
Nothing needed to be discussed. It was understood. No. You don't
even
drink till you're 21,
like,
boy.
Even when you're, like, high school?
Nope.
No, because I was 18 in high school, Nick. That's 3 years under the drinking age.
You never drank a beer before you were
21. I drank not with my parents.
Just okay. Nice. We're making a distinction.
I used to put
there.
A suit on. I used to take my
I was under 21.
My friends used to dress me up. I had a suit with one of those ties, you know, the leather, old leather tie.
Did you go on beer runs for your buddies?
Thing you put through. I put a pin through my collar with a little chain
you
over
say
the
your
top.
Your friends used to dress you up?
And yeah, they'd say, get your three-piece suit on. And I'd look like a freaking Undertaker with my eye rock, and I'd pull up like you're older and important. Yes, sir, I'd have 5 cases of that, please. Back up.
So you never drank with your parents before you were 21, but you illegally bought beer for your friends before
yes.
you... Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
That's
all right,
different.
Good.
Yep. All true.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I don't think you can really sit outside the liquor store anymore. Can you do that as a kid?
It wasn't
I
a liquor
like
store.
Yeah.
It was a distributor. When you're in Pennsylvania, guys would sell stuff out of their garage. It was weird. It was like it was a private distributor. It was weird. They were all over, like little towns. You could drive
like
up.
Like if
the
you
guy,
were to get asked by right now by a kid in college who's not yet of age, would you be like, yeah, sure, just give me your money.
No,
you'd be like, you know what? No. Because you'll go get in a car and they'll find me and I'll be responsible for it. No.
We used to ring a doorbell in the house and the guy would have beer signs on his garage and he'd come out with a cane and he'd have to go open up the garage door and hey, give me your cash. Take the beer and go ahead. And he'd go right back in his house.
I just want to make sure. Jim, you drank around your parents before you were 21, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
What makes that good?
No, I didn't want to make that
parenting.
Like, oh my gosh!
You're teaching kids to drink.
Wow, just called my mom a bad parent.
Well, not
pretty,
you know, you're pretty
sharp.
Saying.
That's pretty much what you said.
I will not drink with my kid before she's 21.
Can we go to Brian in Fitchburg on the Bruins? Brian,
did Brian drink with his parents before he was 21? That's what I want to know.
Are we in the cattle show
now? I drank down the beach, right down the street.
There you go, on the beach, right down the street.
Yeah,
today's trade shows us and proves. That Don Sweeney is the Michael Scott of NHL trade.
Love Michael Scott.
Two years ago, Colorado gave up on Nick Holden to the Rangers for a fourth-round pick when he had 34 points and he was younger. Today, we give away a prospect and a third-round pick for a guy who's older and is a free agent at the end of this year. He has to push away from the table and rip the phone out of the wall because he's going to make bad trades. That give up Jake DeBrusk and Zach Sinishin. He's going to give the way of the farm for Ham and Eggers.
I'm going to wait until the trade deadline has come and gone. I'm not impressed with this deal today, obviously. Nobody is.
No.
But I'm thinking it might be part of something bigger. I'm holding out hope for that. There's no way they made this deal with like, oh, we got to get Holden. He's going to make us so much deeper and so much better. There's no way that's what was going on there. I'm going to wait until the deadline is... I'm not going to get him in trouble for something he hasn't yet done, which is fail at the trade deadline. He hasn't yet failed. Okay, there's still plenty of time to do something.
I get the boss chiming in on Twitter now. I'm with @Nick985.
There we go.
Nick C at 985. I drank at home with my parents when I was in high school.
There we go.
Shocker of the world right there.
There we go.
Pounding them.
What do you think of that, Zoe? You going to attack the boss's parents now?
Nope, not going to do that.
You going to tell the boss he has bad parents?
No, he's got good parents.
Yeah.
You never had champagne like New Year's Eve? When the
Listen,
clock hit midnight
we're not
going to
go.
School?
Well, my parents going to go, like, say, hey, kid, drink some champagne. No.
So it was a saint around his parents.
No, not really.
New Year's Eve, 1994. The Patriots played Cleveland, right? Playoff game?
Yeah.
New Year's Day, 1995. Belichick and Parcells. My buddy and I went on the trip with my parents, with my father and a bunch of his friends. We went to the game the next day, but Saturday night, New Year's Eve, they went out. We get to the hotel room, they left us a little 30-pack and a little bottle of champagne.
And all of this came to be because we've concluded that Scott Zolak is not a regular guy. He's missed out on a lot of regular guy experiences in his 50 years on Earth.
That's why I made up for a lot of stuff after it.
I mean, I think Jim is one of the most balanced people I've ever met.
When are we
going to
get you on the red line? Like, or the green line or something?
Take a video of it.
Let's go.
You got Tim with the damn camera. Follows us around on game day. You want a story? Follow me around.
I'll tell you what. Let's do it.
Say, stick me in Franklin and say, find your way to Boston. See what happens with this kid. That's a freaking adventure right
there. When we move
to
our new office, we're going to be steps from a red line stop.
I don't even know what the red line means. I thought it was green.
There is the green, the orange, the blue.
Yeah.
Why do you need so many lines? How do you know what train to get on?
Because that's why they have them color-coded. They go to different places.
Are we really having this talk right now?
We really are, because Zoe has no idea what it means. None.
Wow.
Couldn't even tell you how to get on a train. Don't even know how to buy a ticket. Then I found out in Denver, it was, what do they call that? It's you go and you buy your own ticket, but you get on, they don't really scan it. It's by honor. So, like, I figured...
Not in Boston.
By the day two?
You go through a turnstile.
I'm like, watch this. We don't even need a ticket. Just make sure we have our...
Oh,
service.
That probably made him nervous.
Got him right on.
Did that make him nervous?
Bob went and bought a ticket.
Of course he did.
Of course. Mr. Honest.
Of course he did.
Mr. Honest.
Honest Abe over there.
Free rides, though.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Time for the takeaways here on Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe is out, what, Thursday, Friday this week?
Just yes, sir.
Housekeeping item?
Yep.
Dan Roach will be in studio.
Roachy.
So you know we'll get to plenty of Red Sox thoughts on those days with Roach.
Mm-hmm. Hey, don't forget, Awaken 180 Weight Loss Takeaway. Take away your excess weight for life and visit Awaken180weightloss.com.
Couple of things. Couple of items. This is what made me think of it with Roach, too. The DCF cleared those hockey coaches up in Andover.
I know. I saw that. I retweeted.
Not only did the local investigation at the school level with the outside investigator clear, were they cleared, they were also cleared by DCF.
Yep.
Which we were talking about last week, and those coaches returned over the weekend.
They got the name of the guy that was the rat. They called
him. Well, maybe. Maybe.
I think
there's
it would be.
Other parents accusing one parent of being the guy that called DCF. But they were cleared and they're back to work. So I'm glad they are. But that just tells you that the allegation was nonsense to begin with. Because little Timmy didn't get his ice time.
I'm going to call the stain on you and get an investigation.
It was 64 degrees on the bus. He's probably so dehydrated.
Brutal.
He didn't get his water.
All right, so that was one thing. But the other thing was this, as we think about Roachy coming in later this week and talking some Red Sox, was the press conference that took place yesterday with John Henry, Tom Werner. Those two guys got together, sat on the bench together, and then... basically said the opposite of one another, including talking about the team's popularity.
How would you characterize the level of popularity that the team enjoys now versus other years you've owned the team?
Well, I think that obviously losing David Ortiz is losing someone who is charismatic and a great leader. I actually like the youth of our team. I think if you talk to fans, I know that there have been some comments that I respect that we have the most popular team. You know, I know there were some bumps last year. You know, you talked about the Price-Eckersley situation. But I look at a team that is exciting. So I don't quite see it the way some of the fans see it. I respect their point of view. But I think we've got a fun team. And if it's healthy, I think we're going to be, you know, we'll bring the fans back. It's obviously we're in a... a market where there's a lot of excellence. And, you know, we've got four championship teams, and they're all playing extremely well. So hopefully now it's the beginning of spring training, and we can have some focus on the Red Sox.
We really don't need to be popular. We need to win.
So I really like John Henry's answer there. I'm not really too concerned with popularity. I'm more concerned about winning. If we win, we'll be plenty popular. And then you still have Werner there talking about, you know, we've lost David Ortiz. And I think we have good young, fun players.
That's shocking, though, to think that Ortiz, when you lose him, that you're going to take a major personality hit.
Yeah, he's still talking about the TV show.
He wants to bring him back for another farewell tour.
He is. He's talking about the TV show there. And then the John Henry comes down and says, well, no, how about we just win games? How about we win? If we win, we'll be plenty popular. Let's focus on winning.
Yeah. My takeaway is, I want to talk about Dan Shaughnessy here real quick. Because Dan joined us from down in Fort Myers today. He'll be in studio next Tuesday with us in person. That here we go again with Dan. That Dan's on the outside of his boss again, where John Henry still doesn't give Dan really the time of day, and Dan's got to kind of interject. And then he also said that, you know, he and David Price just really aren't on speaking terms. How does Shaughnessy go in then get out? Go in then get out? Because like he did one of the last stories on Price, like, yeah, David's wanted to talk to me down in Baltimore. Or there, you know, he's trying to get to the bottom of this. And now all of a sudden Price isn't talking to Dan again. Like Shaughnessy's in out. It's like it's going to be a difficult.
He was never in.
Difficult.
Well, he hasn't been in with the big boss in a long time.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. Interesting.
He's good for the newspaper.
Yeah. You got to take away, Nick?
My takeaway is you never drank with your parents before you were 21.
You're never regular.
That's my takeaway.
You've never been on the train.
And I have bad parents. Terrible parents.
I never said you had bad parents.
Me and Mike Thomas, the boss, we have terrible parents. Good job, Zo. Good job.
I could go talk to the boss. He's in on this Airbnb thing. It's unique.
I've heard it's legit, Airbnb.
Again, things, just regular guy things. And so
never heard of this stuff.
Because he doesn't do regular guy
things.
I got sick.
They have an orange line beetle. They have an orange line that exists.
Orange,
Last week, I got sick and I found the Fire Stick, the Amazon Fire Stick.
You never heard of an Amazon Fire Stick.
It was awesome.
Now he has.
You found it. Where was it? Was it on the couch?
There's another internet world out there that I might have to start involving myself with, like Jim Murray.